I wasn't quite sure what to title the message this morning, but I decided on standing for the Lord. I'll start out, just read a psalm that has just really been ministering to me and challenging me recently. Well, I say recently, it's actually been for the past probably year and a half. As I was began to pray about a year ago about going to South Africa, this psalm came to me, and it's been something that has been on my heart and in my prayers that I've been praying for my own life and for us as a church there in Colorado and for all of us as churches. This 144 verse 1 says, "Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." And I've just been meditating on that a lot. Obviously, we know in this was a psalm of David, and he was probably speaking more in the physical sense of actually physically fighting his enemies. And we know the powerful warrior that David was, and the way God went with him, and the way God won battles, just miraculous battles, beginning with Goliath through his life. And how just over and over and over again we see David, you know, just taking the victory, and was known as a man of war, was known as a man that could conquer his enemies, and just, you know, I began to just pray about that and look at this. You know, he says, "Blessed be the Lord my strength." You know, we look at all the victories that David won, and like I said before, beginning from Goliath. And on through. I mean, you know, they say, you know, there we're talking where Saul got angry at him was, you know, the princes of Israel were coming out and singing, you know, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David is 10,000s. And how he just incredible man of war, man of victory, man of valor. And excuse me, I might need a drink. If someone could get that for me, that would be great. And yet, we see him here not taking credit to himself. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." And recognizing that it was the power of God in his life, it was the wisdom of God in his life that brought him those victories, that taught him how to win those victories, and through God he was able to win those. And yes, it was by his hands, it was through him physically going out there, and just meditating on that recently and thinking of that in our lives in a spiritual context, where we recognize that it is not me. There is nothing in me. There is no goodness in me. There is no power in me of myself that can be victorious in the spiritual realm, and that can win battles for the Lord. Thank you. However, also recognizing that God has chosen us as his people to win those battles. God has chosen us as men, as women of God, to fight in the spiritual realm, to fight in prayer. And I guess just especially with being there in South Africa and the work, the need that's there, and the spiritual darkness, the oppression. And, you know, I shared about Makaza, but that was one man. But the stories are widespread. Just everywhere you go, almost where we went visiting, they talked about this spiritual oppression, just this darkness, whether it be how it was affecting their children or their young people, just rampant drunkenness among the young people over there right now, and spiritual oppression. Many people talk about not being able to sleep and hearing voices and seeing demons and just the darkness and the oppression. And it's among us here too. I'm not taking that away. It does seem to be more, I don't know if I should say more present, but more prevalent, more open, more. And I believe it is because of the overall culture there and the way that the enemy has opened doors to that stuff, and the way their superstition and their fear, the enemy just has opened doors for that. But, you know, it just really hit me that, you know, we as God's people, we as God's church, have been given the authority, the power, through the blood of Christ, through the name of Jesus Christ, to push back those powers, to push back those demonic powers. And that's what I want to look at this morning in the thought of standing for the Lord. You know, there's many areas in life that we are given the opportunity to stand. Yes, we stand and fight. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about taking the whole armor and having done all to stand against the enemy, to stand against his tactics, to stand against his lies. But even in practical areas of life, we're faced with decisions probably daily if we really stop and look at them and recognize them, of opportunities to stand to be a testimony, to stand, to not just go with the flow, to not just go with the status quo. We as people, we as humans, we like to go with the flow. We like to be accepted. We don't like to stand out alone, but we're given the opportunity to stand. And not only are we given the opportunity, we're given the call. I believe we as God's people, we have been given the call to stand for the Lord. And I want to look at an account in 2 Samuel, if you would turn there, 2 Samuel chapter 23, of some of David's mighty men. And the one especially I want to bring out, but I want to read about all three that it brings out here. And men here that were obviously trained under David, and just mighty men of valor, mighty men in battle. And as we look today about standing for the Lord taking the opportunities that we have to stand, the one challenge I want to leave you with, and we'll look at that at the end again, I'll come back to that, is, are you willing to be a mighty man and or woman of God? Or are we satisfied to just kind of be average? To just, well, everyone else, you know, I'm measuring up, you know. But are we satisfied with that? Or do we have a desire to become mighty men of God, mighty women of God, mighty in valor, mighty in pulling down spiritual strongholds? 2 Samuel 23, we'll read 9 to 12. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Oahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. So here we see the status quo. The most of the men of Israel had gone away, but these stood. And he arose, or this man stood, and he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand cleaved unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to the spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils. And again, the people, the status quo, the average, fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. So here we see, I guess it's just two here. I'd said three earlier, but both Eleazar and Shammah, when everyone else had gone away, everyone else had fled, they stood. They stood and they fought. And I just love the way it ends those verses. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. They were considered mighty men, but it doesn't say that they won a great victory that day. You know, maybe sometimes we look at our own lives, we look at and we just say, well, who am I? Who am I? I'm not a mighty man. I'm weak. But God is asking us to stand. If we will stand when everyone else is not willing, if we will stand when the status quo is satisfied with less, If we are willing to be men of valor, women of valor, and I'm talking spiritually, in spiritual warfare, in spiritual battle, and pushing back the darkness, pushing back the enemy, if we are willing to stand for the Lord will win the great victory. The Lord will win that battle through us. But He's looking for men and women that will stand. We see here passion. We see commitment. We see them placing themselves in the heat of the battle, even when it looked impossible, and being willing to engage in the battle against the enemy. You know, these were their oppressors. These were the Philistines were oppressing the people of God, were oppressing the Israelites. And we see today, if we look, we see the enemy is still endeavoring to oppress the people of God, to oppress those that desire freedom, those that want freedom, that want out of the darkness. And are we willing to stand and to be those that push back that darkness, that conquer the oppression? And we have been given the authority. We have been given the victory already if we stand. You know, placing ourselves into the battle, and you all here, I believe, are also familiar with and maybe going through the Ray Vanderlaan series, and you'll probably be coming to this fairly shortly after. I think you're on summer break right now, after you start again, but we recently were going through them as well, and through the part where Jesus took the disciples to that mountain, that place that was called the gates of hell, and he says, you know, Jesus says there, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I'm not going to go into detail here, but history has it, and Ray Vanderlaan brings that out even more in some of his high school teachings, I think. But this was a wicked, wicked place. Some of the worst immorality and sin, and just open sin going on in public. And Jesus took his disciples there, took these young men there, to that. Why would he do that? To show them the enemy, to show them what his church was going to prevail against. And he took them there, and he said, on this rock, right here in the middle of this debauchery, is where I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell, this wickedness, the oppression of the enemy, will not prevail against it. Are we willing to go there? Are we willing to fight against the enemy? Are we willing to stand for the Lord in every area, in every situation in life that we have the opportunity to stand in? It takes men of valor. It takes women of valor. Willing to stand up against the enemy. Willing to stand when the average, the status quo, is satisfied with less, satisfied to just have our own lives good. What is your vision? What is your burden this morning? To not back down or compromise, even when others do. God is looking for people. We look at the end of verse 11 and 12 there. But he stood. And when he stood, the Lord won a great victory. I ask you this morning, are you standing? Young people, are you standing? Are you standing alone? Or are you standing together? We can stand together if we all decide to stand. To stand and fight. To stand and not be satisfied to just coast. To not be satisfied. To not run when others run. To not drift when others drift. But to stand and to fight. I'd like to look at some examples in the Bible of people who stood. Paul, when God called him, he said, "He is a chosen vessel unto me." And he said, "I need to show him what great things he must suffer for my sake and for the sake of the gospel." You know, we don't like that. It's repulsive to our flesh, to our human ways. We don't like to suffer. We don't like to stand against the tide. But God said, "This is my call. I need to show him." And he was willing. He suffered greatly for the sake of the gospel. And yet he stood. David was anointed king at a young age. The Lord said to Samuel, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Can we see now why David won so many victories? It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He was anointed by God. He was called by God. He accepted that call. When God called him, he accepted that call. He accepted that anointing. Are we accepting the anointing of God in our lives today? Yet in the face of Goliath, he stood. In the face of Saul, persecuting him, chasing him, hunting him down, he stood. When his son tried to take the kingdom, he stood. And the one thing that has really challenged me about the life of David, if you read through the account of David, especially when he was fleeing from Saul, and through most of his life, obviously we know he made some mistakes. He made a very large mistake, yet he repented from that. But through his life, you know, we can just look at all the great things and all the mighty things that David did, and it's good. It's good to look at that. But I believe we also need to look at the key. I mean, it does say this is very much one key. The anointing of the Lord was upon him from that day forward. But I love how in every instance, when you look at David, Saul's chasing him, he's closing in. David comes to the Lord and he says, "Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this situation? Shall I stand and fight? Shall I flee?" You know, and some places the Lord tells him to flee. Sometimes the Lord tells him to stand and fight. "I will be with you. I will fight for you." You know, and other times he's waiting on the timing of God. God says, "Wait till I move, till the wind moves in the mulberry trees. Wait for my timing. You're anointed for this. I have a victory for you, but wait for my timing." And just that key of David's life, I believe, just knowing God, walking with God, having a relationship with him where he talked with God, where he knew the voice of God, he knew the heart of God. And time again, God gave him that direction. God gave him that wisdom. And when he walked in that, he walked in victory and he walked in life. Esther was called for such a time as this. And yet at the risk of her life, of her own life, she stood. She risked her life to be a woman of God, to be a woman standing against the oppression of the enemy. Again, we see here the oppression of the enemy, wanting to come in and oppress God's people. But God raised up Esther, and she was willing to stand. She was willing to stand against that oppression. And again, we could say the Lord won a great victory. Daniel was taken captive by a heathen nation, yet he purposed in his heart to not defile himself. And when it was a choice between publicly praying to God or yielding to men, he stood. The three Hebrews, they were told they must bow or else. Yet they stood. And their faith, think of this. It's been a challenge to me through the years. Young people, think of this. The choice that they made to stand. And I believe every one of us, if we look at our lives, we can see areas, we can see times. And if we're attentive, there will be more times where we have the choice to stand or to bow. But think of this, their faith in standing in the face of what they were facing, their faith caused the leader of a world power the world power at that time to acknowledge the one true God. Think of the impact. This was three young men. Three young men who stood. And they caused the world power, the leader of the number one world power at the time, to acknowledge the one true God. The power that we have if we're willing to stand. We have Joseph. It was ordained of God for his brothers to sell him into slavery. It was ordained of God for him to be the victim of the evil in Potiphar's house and be cast into prison. Yet in the face of it all, he stood. He stood faithful. He honored God in all he did. And because of that, again, the impact, the world impact that Joseph had on his world at the time was just incredible. Mary and Joseph were called by God to face ridicule and rejection so that God's purpose could be fulfilled in them. Yet through it all, they stood and they walked in obedience. They listened to the voice of God and they walked in obedience. I just love Mary's response when the angel came to her and told her God's will for her life. You know, basically she's like, I don't understand it. I don't know how this can be. But behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I'm here. I'm willing to stand. I'm willing to be your servant. I'm willing to do what you're asking me to do. The prophets called to be a voice. Isaiah was called to preach to the house of Israel, but was told they wouldn't listen. He was called to preach until the cities were desolate. Yet he stood and faithfully preached. Are we willing to stand? Ezekiel was called to be a watchman to a rebellious nation that was not going to listen. This was their call. Stand and preach all your life, but they're not going to listen. Imagine that, Elmer. I feel like we as ministers are at least blessed with people that listen, right? That receive, that are blessed, and we walk together in that. But they were called to preach to people that weren't going to listen. Yet they stood. Through it all, he stood faithful. He walked in obedience. Hosea was called to marry a harlot, to go through extreme pain and rejection multiple times. Yet he stood faithful. The disciples, Jesus told them, men will hate you for my sake. Does anyone hate you today? We've all faced rejection. But we know that there's brothers and sisters we have around the world who face this hatred. But I think few of us here know what that's about. Would we stand? Are we willing to stand? He says, take up your cross and follow me. Every one of them faced severe persecution and most of them cruel death. Yet they stood and preached the gospel, both with their words and with their lives. What about us? What about you? Are we called to stand? You know, we picked out these few and we say, well, yeah, that was them. That was God's call on them. But what about today? Is God not looking? Is God not asking us to stand? Can we just be normal people? It's what we want, right? We just want to be normal. We just want to have a good life. We just want to have our needs met, be comfortable. And I'm not saying we can't be comfortable in life. All of us really are, if we stop and think, if we stop and look at the majority of the world, we have it very easy. We're very comfortable, probably too comfortable. And I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about in our spiritual lives, in spiritual warfare. Are we willing to just sit back and let Goliath defile the name of God? Are we willing to sit back and let the enemy take our neighbors to hell? Or are we going to stand? Are we going to stand up and fight? When everyone else runs in fear, are we going to go with them? Or are we going to be the one left in that lentil field saying no, no? Everything that Christ has done for me, everything that Christ has provided for his people, the power that is in the blood, I can't go. I can't run. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand and wield the sword until it cleaves to my hand. No matter what I face, no matter how much I have to stand alone, I'm willing to stand. I'm willing to be a mighty man in spiritual warfare against the enemy, against the oppression. Are we willing to just stand by and allow the enemy to oppress our communities, even our children at times? Are we willing to stand by and just watch that happen? Or are we going to stand? Are we going to stand against the gates of hell? Church, Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Do we believe that? Do we believe that we have the power, the authority, and the ability, if we are willing, to push back the darkness, to push back the gates of hell? Whether it be here in Lancaster County, out in Trinidad, Colorado, or even the amazing thing is, from here, we can push back the gates of hell in South Africa. So that those people, that old man being oppressed, being tormented nightly by the enemy, can find freedom, can find peace with God. Are we going to go with the flow, or are we going to stand? Second Corinthians 6 says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, "Be holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy." Completing Christ, wholly consecrated, willing to stand alone, willing to take up our cross and follow the one who died for us. The one who gave up everything. The one who looked at the hardship and looked at the commitment and looked at what it would mean for him to stand in what God had called him to stand in. And he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But then the words, the beautiful words of Christ that I long to be my commitment, I long for to be your commitment, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Not my will, but may I stand in the call that God has for me. May I stand and take up my cross. We have been chosen by God for a purpose. We have been appointed as a royal priesthood to walk in true holiness. We've been called as Christians to stand, to be different, to come out from among, to not get wrapped up and distracted in the pleasures of the ungodly. Why? That we might show Christ to the world. Why? That we as His church might push back the gates of hell, to push back the oppression of the enemy. This is something that has just really been working in my heart lately, is that we as God's people are not only able through Christ, we have been called, church, to push back the darkness, to push back the oppression. We have been given the power. We have been given all that we need that pertains to life and godliness. We have been given the authority over the enemy to push back the darkness so that those oppressed by the enemy may come to the light. There are many in South Africa. There are many in Lancaster County. There are many in Trinidad, Colorado that are oppressed by darkness. They're oppressed by the enemy. They don't want to be there. They long to be free from that oppression. But who, church? Who is going to push back the darkness that they might be liberated? Will it be you? Will it be us? We are set apart. We are called to stand, to join forces with Christ. To engage in spiritual warfare against the enemy. To push back the powers of darkness that are present around us and around the world. Powers that are fulfilling the desires of Satan. Powers that are drawing men into deception. Powers that are overtaking the church of Jesus Christ. Powers that are destroying homes and marriages. Powers that are enticing our children to love the things of this world. Powers that are attempting to wear out the saints of God in these last times. Church, we are called. We are called to take the whole armor of God and to stand. To stand against these things, to stand against what the enemy wants to bring against us as God's people. Do we know what this is? Are we committed to fight? Are we committed? Are you committed? Do you have a desire in your heart to be a mighty man of God, to be a mighty woman of God in prayer, in spiritual warfare, and to stand and fight? When others are getting distracted and getting wrapped up maybe in the things around us and getting sucked into the pleasures of this world and of this life, are you willing to stand? To stand in the lentil field and to defend the Church of Jesus Christ? To stand against the oppression? Are we willing to be called out, to be separate, to stand, to engage in battle, to walk in holiness, to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily distracts us, and run with endurance with the sword cleaved to our hand? Am I willing to embrace the call to anguish? I'd really encourage you, if this is stirring in your heart and you want to embrace this call this morning, go online and find David Wilkerson's message, The Call to Anguish. I trust it will change your life. Are we willing to embrace the call to anguish? Will you dare to be a Daniel? Are you willing to be one of God's mighty men? Are you satisfying with being average? God is looking for men and women Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. We don't do this on our own strength. We can't do this on our own strength. Yet God is looking. God is looking for men and women who He can teach. The Holy Spirit will teach us if we are willing to stand. He will be our strength. That anointing, where it talks about that anointing of the Spirit of God was on David from that day forward. God is looking for men and women to pour out that anointing, to teach us how to fight. Let's all stand together. And I want us to just bless the Lord together. You know, in Him, we are more than conquerors. In Him, we can stand faultless through the blood of Christ. In Him, we have power over sin and self. In Him, we are given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And in Him, the church is given the power to push back the gates of hell, to bring His life to the world around us. Let's just lift our voices and bless God for His anointing, and ask Him to make us men and women of valor. Father, we just come before You.